The New Orleans Saints are in quite a interesting predicament. And it's a good predicament to be in, but a predicament nonetheless. They've got until early to mid-March to decide who's going to be their quarterback for the 2020 season. Of course, they've got three choices, three good choices, to be honest. You got the legend Drew Brees, you got Teddy Bridgewater, and you got Taysom Hill. And the situation is being made a bit more difficult by the fact that Taysom Hill has now come out publicly and said that he would be willing to leave New Orleans to be the starting quarterback elsewhere. He's basically giving Sean Payton and the Saints an ultimatum. Tell me I'm your guy or I'm out. It's that simple. Teddy Bridgewater obviously could be the starter for another team and could make more money doing so. Both guys could make more money outside of New Orleans if Drew Brees decides to return and if the Saints want Drew Brees back. I'm going to get to Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater in a second, but let's get to the question of if the Saints want Drew Brees back first. There are some people out there who believe that the Saints should move on. So let's go ahead and address that first. Drew Brees is obviously a legend in New Orleans. There will be a statue outside the Superdome of Drew Brees someday. But the fact of the matter is, he's clearly not the same quarterback he was during his prime. He was showing fatigue late in the season in 2017 and 2018. Only reason he didn't show fatigue last season was because he missed 5 weeks in the middle of the year. More importantly, though, Drew Brees has been dreadful in the playoffs the last couple of years. He was god-awful this year against Minnesota. Let Kirk Cousins come into his house and outplay him. He was terrible the year before in the NFC Championship game against the Rams. The Saints are 0-2 their last two home playoff games, mainly because Drew Brees hasn't been Drew Brees in those games. Brees is known for his accuracy, the most accurate quarterback in NFL history, and taking care of the football. He rarely throws interceptions. His first 10 playoff games in New Orleans from 2006 to 2013, he threw 22 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. The 5 playoff games since 2017, he's thrown 10 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. The bottom line is, when the Saints have needed him most, he has not stepped up, which has never been the case throughout his career. He's always stepped up when it matters most. Even if the Saints are on the losing end, Drew Brees still has a great game. But the New Orleans Saints are not the New England Patriots, who have treated Tom Brady like shit and surrounded him with zero talent, even with him taking a pay cut so they could bring in talent to surround him with. Drew Brees is still a top five quarterback in the NFL, even at 41 years old. And the Saints Super Bowl window is not closed. It's still wide open. So if he's willing to come back, and I think he will be, then there's no way that Sean Payton is not going to have Drew Brees as his starting quarterback. There's no question about it. Brees is still playing at a high level in the regular season. Last 3 years, he's been the most accurate passer in NFL history. The Saints have won more games the past 3 seasons than any other team in the NFL. His yards and attempts are down, but that's because the Saints have been more committed to the running game. I actually believe that that was the one component that was missing this season, the running game. And it's what hurt them in that game against Minnesota. This team, more specifically Alvin Kamara, missed the presence of Mark Ingram. Ingram was the go-to guy when New Orleans needed to run the clock, when they needed 1, 2, 3 yards on third down. They sorely missed Mark Ingram this past season. Alvin Kamara was not the Kamara that we've become accustomed to seeing. Didn't seem like he was enjoying the game like he was when Ingram was in the locker room. Also, after he was injured mid-season, he was afraid to take a fucking hit. But like I said a second ago, there's not a doubt in my mind that Drew Brees will be back wearing number 9 in black and gold next season. So the question is, what do the Saints do about Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater? They're not going to have the luxury of hanging on to both guys like they've had the past couple of years. Sean Payton is going to be forced to make a choice. He's got to decide who is going to be the successor to Drew Brees. Now, I think both guys would be willing to sit in the backup role one more season. But who will it be? Taysom Hill or Teddy Bridgewater? With Teddy Bridgewater, you know what you're getting. He's a proven quarterback, a Pro Bowler. 22-12 record as a starter. Completed 68% of his passes in 5 games last year. Went 5-0. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's loved by his teammates. He's a strong presence in the locker room. Has good chemistry with Michael Thomas on the field. Taysom Hill, on the other hand, is a bit of a mystery. He's the best in the NFL in his current role as a gadget player. His importance to this offense cannot be overstated. This would be a completely different offense in New Orleans without Taysom Hill. If Drew Brees were in his prime, I wouldn't say that. But as Drew Brees has aged, Sean Payton has relied more and more on Taysom Hill in these gadget-type plays. But as a starting quarterback, as the leader of the team, as the guy that you're relying on for 16 games a year, 20, 25, 30 passes a game, we don't know how effective Taysom Hill can be. It's a big question mark. 3 years in New Orleans, Taysom Hill has thrown 13 passes. If there's one thing Sean Payton knows, it's quarterbacks. And Sean Payton says that Taysom Hill reminds him of a Steve Young. The league is beginning to transition to quarterbacks that can run as well as pass, which Teddy Bridgewater can't do. Bridgewater's more of a pocket passer. Hill would be the first dual threat quarterback that Sean Payton has had. And it'd be fun to watch what Payton came up with in the offensive game plan with Taysom Hill under center. So who should Sean Payton pick as the successor to Drew Brees? To me, the decision's obvious. You go with Taysom Hill. The reason being, I feel like Teddy Bridgewater has already reached his full potential. We know what he is. He's a reliable game manager. Good quarterback. But I don't see him as a guy that can lead a team all the way to the Super Bowl. One of my biggest criticisms of Teddy Bridgewater, he plays too safe. He didn't get the nickname Check Down Teddy for no reason. If a play isn't going exactly as planned, Teddy Bridgewater's checking down. That's not always a bad thing, but you've got to be somewhat of a risk taker at the quarterback position in the NFL. Taysom Hill is a risk taker. Plus, I love the benefit of him being a dual-threat quarterback. I feel like Sean Payton could do so much more offensively with Hill than he could with Bridgewater. It was clear during that 5-game stretch last season that Sean Payton didn't fully trust Bridgewater. I don't think that'd be the case with Taysom Hill as a starter. I feel like Sean Payton has a much closer relationship with Hill, something that could build over time to the type of relationship that he shared with Drew Brees the past 14, 15 years. Now, I hope Taysom Hill would be willing to sit one more season behind Drew Brees, become the Saints starter in 2021. And I think he will, but for his own sake, really, because I think he's a product of the genius of Sean Payton. I don't think he would fit well with some other teams in the league. Green Bay released him for a reason. Mike McCarthy didn't know what to do with him. Sean Payton made Taysom Hill into the star that he is today. I know that he wants to be a starter in 2020. At 30 years old, he doesn't have much time left in his career. The benefit with Taysom Hill, though, is because he started in the NFL so late, he's got fresh legs. He's got a fresh arm. So if he's good enough, he could realistically be a starter for the next 10 years. Behind the Line, episode number 50. I'm your host, KC. You can follow me on Twitter at KC_BTL84. Hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure to click that notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes. I appreciate all your support and those that have already done so. So Teddy Bridgewater is likely going to be a starting quarterback elsewhere next season, but there are several other quarterbacks in the NFL that are in desperate need of a fresh start. 2019 was a tough year for some big names, guys who have been franchise quarterbacks for years, some even a decade or more. Andy Dalton has been the starter with the Cincinnati Bengals since 2011. He and Marvin Lewis had a decent run from 2011 to 2015, made the playoffs 5 straight years. But the Bengals haven't been to the playoffs since. They parted ways with Marvin Lewis at the end of the 2018 season. And in most cases, when a team fires a head coach, the starting quarterback is soon to follow. At 32 years old, Andy Dalton doesn't have time to sit around and wait for the Bengals to return to contention. And we're talking about the fucking Bengals here. The place where careers go to die. The franchise with a 5-14 record in the playoffs. So it's not likely they're going to be contenders again in Andy Dalton's career. The problem that I see him having, I don't see anywhere in the league he can go and step in immediately and become the starter. He's a mid-tier quarterback at best, and that's a stretch. This isn't a guy like Phillip Rivers who's had success throughout his career and had a bad season in 2019. Andy Dalton hasn't had a good year since 2016. He's a turnover machine throughout his career. 118 interceptions, 42 fumbles. He's thrown more interceptions than Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers has been in the league 6 years longer. He's nearly doubled up the number of interceptions thrown by Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson came into the league 1 year after Andy Dalton. My point is, Andy Dalton is not a guy that's in a position to leave Cincinnati and have the expectation of being a starter elsewhere. He needs a change of scenery, but he's going to have to accept being a backup. Maybe somewhere like Washington, where if Dwayne Haskins continues to struggle, Dalton can be their plan B. Another quarterback that needs a change, Nick Foles. He needs to get out of Jacksonville, but because of his contract, I think he's going to find himself stuck backing up Gardner fucking Minshew. A Super Bowl winning quarterback playing the backup role to a guy that hasn't won anything and was far from impressive last season. Even though people hyped up the Minshew mania garbage, it was all an illusion. I'm not saying that Gardner Minshew can't improve, but I didn't see enough from him last season to warrant him starting over Nick Foles, who was injured in week 1 last year. Like I said a second ago, the problem with Foles is the contract. He's being paid $22 million a year and has a dead cap number of $33.9 million. That is not attractive to any team willing to give him a shot, having to absorb that much money against their salary cap. The reason I think Jacksonville is going to start Minshew ahead of Foles, they let go of their offensive coordinator, who was with them in Philadelphia. They should have fired Doug Marrone. But I digress. Foles cannot catch a break. Wins a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Leads them right back to the playoffs the next year. They decide to go with Carson Wentz, which wasn't necessarily the wrong decision, but Nick Foles fit perfectly with that offensive system. It's kind of like Case Keenum in Minnesota back in 2017. He fit so good with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. They let him go and go out and give Kirk Cousins $28 million a year. Now, luckily for Nick Foles, if Gardner Minshew struggles to start the year, which is entirely possible, he could find himself once again starting in Jacksonville. Derek Carr's future with the Raiders could be in jeopardy if they successfully go after Tom Brady. But even if they cannot get Tom Brady, I think Derek Carr needs to get out of that organization either way. The Raiders are a clusterfuck. The fan base has turned on Derek Carr. He was booed out of the stadium in their final home game in Oakland. I don't understand it either. I don't think Derek Carr is the problem with the Raiders. I think it's John Gruden. Carr had arguably the best season of his career, statistically speaking. Career high in quarterback rating, passing yards, completion percentage. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, only 8 interceptions. I've never been a John Gruden guy, and I think Derek Carr needs to get away from him and get a fresh start elsewhere, try to rejuvenate his career. I've seen rumors that he could be headed to Tennessee to compete for the starting job with Ryan Tannehill, but I got a better idea. I think that Carolina should go after him, perhaps trade Cam Newton for Derek Carr. I think he would benefit greatly under Matt Rhule, who would be the first real offensive-minded head coach he's played for in his career. He had Dennis Allen to start his rookie season, defensive guy. Then he had Tony Sperano step in as the interim coach for 12 games after Dennis Allen was fired. No one is mistaking him for an offensive genius. After that, Jack Del Rio, defensive guy. And of course, John Gruden, who has been out of the league for 10 years before coming back in 2018. I think this trade would benefit both Derek Carr and Cam Newton. Matt Rhule would start his coaching career with Carr, give Carolina a fresh start for the franchise with a rookie head coach and a new quarterback. And Cam Newton would get his much-needed second chance. Going to close out this morning with the NBA. Heavy talk about New Orleans today. Started with the Saints, closing out with the Pelicans. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again now. If he stays healthy, Zion Williamson will be the next LeBron James of the NBA. This guy is the next generation superstar of this league. The Pelicans had Portland come to the Smoothie King Center Tuesday night in a huge game. Yes, believe it or not, there can be huge NBA games in February. Both teams fighting for the number 8 seed, so this game had big implications on tiebreaker scenarios for the playoffs. The Pelicans started the game dreadfully. Turnovers, missed shots, typical Pelicans basketball. Found themselves down 16 points in the first quarter. After that first quarter, where the Pelicans ended it down 9 points, they outscored Portland 111-81. It was a dominating performance, specifically in the second half. Zion Williamson's impact on this team cannot be understated. And I'm not talking about the 31 points that he scored. I'm talking about the energy that he brings. His energy is contagious. It carries over to every other player on the roster. The hustle plays, the offensive rebounds, the plays in transition. All those things that Zion does causes other guys on this team to do the same. Look no further than the third quarter that Josh Hart had on Tuesday night. Hart won this game for New Orleans in the third quarter. There were 3 or 4 plays he made that changed the momentum in this game, making plays defensively, grabbed a steal and dunk in transition, hit a big 3-pointer midway through the third quarter. He was all over the floor, both offensively and defensively, for about 7 or 8 minutes. New Orleans is playing team basketball right now, and it all goes back to Zion Williamson and his presence. He has that it factor that superstar players possess. And he's humble. He says all the right things. He's a team-first guy. Zion Williamson's played in only 9 games. He's averaging 21 points a game and scored at least 20 in 7 of those 9 games, which makes him the only player in the NBA the last 30 years to accomplish that. Not Kobe Bryant, not LeBron, not Shaquille O'Neal, not Tracy McGrady. Zion Williamson. The Pelicans are poised to make a late season run, and I honestly feel like they'll be the number 8 seed in the Western Conference. Memphis, who's currently at number 8, has the toughest remaining schedule. The Pelicans had the easiest. They own the tiebreaker over Portland. They swept the season series. Drew Holiday owns Damian Lillard every time they match up. He is still the best two-way guard in the NBA. This is starting to remind me of the 2017-2018 season that the Pelicans had, but kind of in reverse. That year, DeMarcus Cousins went down for the season in January, and Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday took over, led the Pelicans on a late season run, end of the season as the number 6 seed in the West, swept Portland in the first round of the playoffs before getting knocked out by Golden State. this season, the opposite has happened. Zion Williamson makes his debut in January, and the Pelicans are in the middle of a late season run after going through that horrific start to the season that saw them lose 13 straight games. The NBA desperately needs Zion and the Pelicans to make the playoffs. Playoff ratings were down last season with LeBron not in the postseason. Regular season ratings this year have tanked. The league would be salivating over a potential Lakers-Pelicans matchup in the first round. There would be so many stories to that series. The future versus the past and LeBron versus Zion. Anthony Davis battling his old team in the playoffs. The stories write themselves. And I feel like New Orleans would actually have a chance in that series. As good of a chance as any 8 seed has against a 1 seed anyway, assuming that the Lakers hold on to the top spot. The Pelicans have the better guards. They've got more depth. The biggest problem would be they don't have anybody on the roster that could guard Anthony Davis. It had to be a combination of Derek Favors and Zion doubling him up, which would leave LeBron matched up one-on-one with Drew Holiday. The Lakers likely would win that series, but I could see the Pelicans stealing a game or two at home. More importantly, though, the Pelicans would get much-needed playoff experience for this young core of players. All right, that's all for today, guys. I'll be back Saturday morning. Hit the like and subscribe button on YouTube. Make sure to hit the notification bell to receive all notifications from the channel. Leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes. Leave me a comment in the section below. Let me know what you think of the podcast. I appreciate the support. I will see you guys on Saturday.